This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Osteothera plus Ipraflavone from Claire Labs. As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone is a comprehensive formulation that supports optimal bone density. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone is vital for supporting the body in the formation and regeneration of bone to ensure your optimal skeletal health. For more information and to purchase Osteothera plus Ipraflavone, just go to my online dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Welcome back to today's Q&A with Layla. It's our weekly opportunity to field your questions. You can send questions to radioprogram@aol.com. And Layla, we're getting a lot of questions, right?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, so keep them coming.
We're almost caught up.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get to questions, though, I just want to comment on a couple of interesting stories in news. And I love stories like this because these are like home remedies for potentially serious diseases. And one, I don't know if you saw it, was the use of baking soda for the treatment of autoimmune disease.
Ah.
Did you see that that story?
I thought it was for the treatment of arthritis. It's for autoimmune?
Rheumatoid arthritis.
Yeah, yes.
Which is not, and yeah. Possibly generally for autoimmune disease. Now, So what could that be about? You know, I thought, well, first, it's based on that acid alkaline thing, which I thought,
right.
I've been sort of poo-pooing that, but I thought, well, maybe there's something to it. If you alkalinize your body with baking soda, which is very alkaline, that you create a more alkaline environment in your body and you have less inflammation. But no, that's not how it works. The mechanism by which it works, and I don't know how much you're supposed to take, and I'm not necessarily recommending this yet, but it's of interest, and I think they're going to do more research on this, because, you know, if it works, it's fantastic. It's a cheap, you know, home remedy for a devastating condition.
Yeah. Take care of your digestive upset, too.
Yeah, you know, it's antacid, right? So when you take a big amount of baking soda, you neutralize the acid in your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
So what that does is it sends somehow a reflex to your spleen. It actually induces you to want to produce more hydrochloric acid to overcome the alkalinity in your stomach.
Ah.
There's a reflex signal to your spleen. The spleen is an immune organ.
Yeah.
And it somehow talks down your autoimmunity. It tempers the autoimmunity in some way via signaling to your spleen. That's what the theory is there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, I'm not going to say that this is some, you know, panacea, but it's very interesting. It's a scientific journal, mm-hmm. and there's probably going to be some follow-up research. The other one was for PCOS, women who have PCOS. They have a lot of problems. They're pre-diabetic.
Yeah.
They have infertility, irregular periods,
mm-hmm.
Obesity.
Mm-hmm. Hirsutism.
Apparently hot baths.
Hot baths.
Uh-huh. Are getting a hot tub.
Getting
has a beneficial effect on PCOS. It actually lowers the androgens and helps to normalize hormonal imbalances in PCOS.
Fantastic.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, my goodness.
So
go get a hot tub if you have PCOS.
So hop in the hot tub and take a couple tablespoons of baking soda and, you know.
And that should... Okay. Anything on apple cider vinegar for that?
No, that's the opposite.
That's acidic.
So,
right?
You know, on the one hand, you know, that's thought to be a remedy for all and sundry, but that's actually the opposite principle. That's acidifying you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think apple cider vinegar, though, because they use it for everything. Dab it on this, put it on that, it'll cure this.
It's
actually a little more alkalinizing in the body, but that's the only one is in terms of a vinegar.
In other words, it's acidic in the mouth, but it has a net alkalinizing effect.
Yeah.
That's the funny thing about it.
Just like lemon juice, acidic, right? But it's alkalinizing in the body.
Yeah. Well, the one drawback with that taking the baking soda is it's a rather big dollop of sodium.
Mm-hmm.
And for someone who is hypertensive and has an autoimmune disorder, maybe that's not such a great idea.
Yeah.
So,
You
know, we'll have to see how that plays out. These are like, you know, exciting stories that pop up, and we'll have to see if it has legs going forward.
Yeah. Very interesting.
So let's answer some questions. We're talking about Peyronie's disease. Well, Peyronie's disease is the bent penis disease
mm-hmm.
that is fairly prevalent in men. I think it's one of those tip of the iceberg phenomena, if I might use an analogy that's a little bit uncomfortable. it's not high, you know, it's probably really underreported.
Yeah.
You know, men don't present to doctors complaining of this. They may suffer
they may think
in silence.
That this is their bent.
Yeah, this is their bent. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's that they're on the normal curve.
Yeah.
Excuse me for saying, you know.
So
the problem with that is that it causes painful intercourse. Mm-hmm. It sometimes makes intercourse impossible.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in the flaccid penis, it's in the erect penis. And it has to do with the little caverns that are engorged with blood that become fibrosed. And, you know, then they create some asymmetry of the erect penis. So the cause of it is, it's unclear. I think some men, some people in general, are more prone to fibrosis.
Genetically?
And a related condition is Dupuytren's contracture of the hand. And, you know, where the hand sometimes curls up and there's like a fibrous band across the palm, and it causes the fingers to contract.
That requires surgery, doesn't it?
It requires surgery, although they came up with a new drug. It's collagenase. It actually dissolves collagen.
Okay.
And they use injections to a greater or lesser success. You know, it's actually, I have a doorman in my building who has this, and he had the injections. It wasn't very helpful. The surgeries were only partially helpful.
Oh, wow.
So they're now using collagenase injections sometimes for Peyronie's disease to break up a plaque. It is one of these conditions that's really challenging to treat. There have been some studies showing that vitamin E may be slightly beneficial. I don't think it's only slightly beneficial. In the past, it's been recommended that people take high doses of PABA, pyrimethamine-benzoic acid, which is a B vitamin that's often in B complex, but very high doses. And the problem with taking such high doses of PABA is that it's a nuisance. It tastes bad. It causes gastrointestinal upset. And for a while there was a drug called Potaba, and it's really hard to get people to comply with the required doses. So I think that drug has sort of fallen into disuse.
Yeah.
It was popular in the 80s and 90s, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, the treatment generally is surgical.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, excision of the parts that are fibrosed.
Mm-hmm.
And there are actually surgeons who specialize in this. You know, it's a very delicate type of surgery, as you might imagine. And it's, you know, it can help to correct the problem. Sometimes the solution is to remove the erectile tissue and to insert a prosthetic, you know, which is the, you know, gives you a, you know, that's an artificial erection. But those devices are improving in quality, and they're like sort of that's the ultimate treatment for erectile dysfunction. If the drugs are not helpful and the injections are not helpful, you get a penile implant.
And after a surgery, we're always recommending some systemic enzymes like Wobenzyme or bromelain or other.
That would be a good adjunct to the surgery, because the concern is that anytime you do surgery, you create fibrosis.
Yes.
And you create potential scarring.
Yeah.
So I would give those men a hearty dollop of, you know, something like Wobenzyme after that surgery.
I wonder if chronic use of something like Wobenzyme could help prevent.
Yeah,
I
guess that's a strategy. That's a possible strategy. We're thinking a little out of the box here. You know, it's thought that the condition could also be partially due to trauma. You know, and certain the sexual positions can cause trauma, and you know, away we go with the development of scar tissue.
Right. Right. Fascinating. Okay.
It's a good point at which to pause, because we allow our sponsors an opportunity to share an important message with you. So please listen up. Here goes.
As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. This is Dr. Ronald Hoppen with a comprehensive formulation that supports optimal bone density to ensure your future bone health. It's Osteothera plus Ipraflavone from Claire Labs. Osteothera plus Ipraflavone helps inhibit bone resorption and promotes new bone formation. The Osteothera plus ciproflavone formulation is vital for supporting the body in the formation and regeneration of bone to ensure your optimal skeletal health. I believe in Osteothera plus ciproflavone so much that I've included it in the Intelligent Medicine Bone Health Protocol, and I recommend it to my patients. For more information and to purchase Osteothera plus ciproflavone, just go to my online dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a free resource to you. So now let's continue with our weekly Q&A with Layla. What's up next?
Okay, we've got an email from Dan. Dan is a longtime listener, and he wants to tell you a little story about his blood pressure. No health problem until last year. Was diagnosed with high blood pressure, 145 over 90, and put on meds. I was determined to beat it. I started to do 30-minute walk 4 to 5 times a week. I lost 10% of my body weight. I started taking magnesium taurate, kaolic, and the other 25 things on your list, Dr. Hoffman. Well, last month...
That refers to an article. Three-part article on hypertension that I wrote.
So he's still on his meds. Last month, while standing in a hot room, I passed out. The EMT called. My blood pressure was at 100 over 50. They wanted to take me to the ER, but instead they called my doctor, who cut my medications in half. Well, I decided to try to stay off the meds. Off meds for a month, and I'm always 120 over 80 or lower, which
Perfect.
Is where you want to be.
Yeah, great.
I found a new MD. Heart Association, Webb, and you helped me very much. Just warn people that they may pass out taking blood pressure meds.
See, here's the thing, though.
When doing all this.
If we were to be doing this, if this was on a supervised basis, I, with the prescription pad in hand, I'd say, let's have your medication. Let's give you a lower dose. Because if you lower your blood pressure naturally and you're taking the same medication, you can get too low.
That's true.
So this is really a cautionary tale. Mm-hmm.
And this is a 63-year-old male.
Yeah.
Dan.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. So a wonderful success, but beware, because you might be the victim of your own success. And also don't forget our Zona Plus, which is also a non-supplement.
Exactly.
Modality that can be used to lower blood pressure.
It's a grip machine that you just basically trade off, and you do this therapy a couple of times a day takes about 3 months.
Yeah, I think they suggest one daily session, if I'm not mistaken.
Is it one daily session?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, it could be one.
Yeah.
And then you trade hands doing it that way. And after about 3 months or so, it's said to have a significant effect, which is very promising. Yeah. Another thing, I also want to say to Dan, one of the things that happens when an overweight person who also has high blood pressure goes on a low-carb diet and they start to lose weight, the blood pressure comes down. I've seen this over and over and over in my past 13, 14 years of doing this, where the doctor then either has to reduce the dosage of BP meds or take them off entirely, which then I'm doing a jig.
Yeah, one
of joy.
Study was done on people on blood pressure medication, and they found that just by losing 5% of your body weight, half of the patients could get off blood pressure medication. So do the math. I mean, 5% of your body weight, if you weigh 250, we're talking 12.5 pounds.
Yeah.
And, that could make all the difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Congratulations to you, Dan. That's great. Keep up the great work. All right. We've got a question from Robin. In the podcast with Dr. Lipman, Dr. Hoffman mentioned a book he wrote or contributed to regarding the MVP syndrome, the mitral valve prolapse syndrome. What's the name of the book?
It's called Natural Therapies for Mitral Valve Prolapse. And it's by, this guy, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wrote it a long time ago.
Yeah.
And it's more like a long pamphlet, really. Mm-hmm. It's part of the Keats Good Health series. And they, there was like a magazine rack in health food stores. They would have the Keats Good Health series, all the natural therapies for whatever.
Yeah.
And so they said, would you write one on mitral prolapse? And I wrote it. And my goodness, it's amazing. I'm still getting royalties on that.
That's great.
I get a check for like $13, $18 every few months.
Well, you know, a lot of people are...
it didn't make me rich.
But. No, it didn't. But wait, it remains to be seen. Yeah. A lot of people don't even know they have mitral valve prolapse. And I believe doctors don't always hear it on a stethoscope, mm-hmm. unless they happen to...
And doctors are, unfortunately... they say, they deny that there's any other consequence to mitral valve prolapse other than, oh, you know, eventually you might have to have heart surgery. They deny that there's an autonomic nervous system component to that, where people feel weak and woozy, they have palpitations, they are hypersensitive to their heartbeats.
Mm-hmm. They're more prone to hypoglycemia, or hypoglycemia
worse menopause
can set them
symptoms.
Up.
Yeah,
yes,
mm-hmm.
all of that.
Anxiety, panic attacks.
Because they're chronically low in magnesium.
Yeah.
And I know that's one of the things you talk about in the book, mm-hmm. of the importance of magnesium for a mitral valve prolapse. So, Robin, you could still find that on the website.
I've gotten letters from like Kazakhstan, you know, like...
Really?
Like crazy places where, wow. you know, people somehow get a hold of the book and it's like,
yeah,
thank you for explaining it.
Okay. Oh, we've got an email from Magdalena, who's very upset. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, I am worried. Can you refute this at all? This was reported in Medscape. Vitamin D screening and supplementation in primary care. They're actually poo-pooing it. Mm-hmm. And what they're actually saying is that a test for vitamin D does not usually improve treatment. Mm. Many people have low levels of vitamin D, but few have seriously low levels. Well, we beg to differ.
Yeah, there's an expression, is if you're not up on it, you're down on it. And, you know, these people are not up on the remarkable changes can occur in people
That's
who
true.
Take vitamin D that we've seen.
Yeah.
For example, I mean, we saw a patient earlier today who had eczema, mm-hmm. and I noticed him, he's a little darker skin pigment, and it was winter, mm-hmm. and I said, I'll bet you anything you have low vitamin D. In fact, I'm going to give you vitamin D, and I'm going to measure it, you know, but my bet is that you're low,
yeah.
and I'll stand corrected if I'm wrong, and I'll cut down the vitamin D that I'm giving you, but I'm making the bet that you're low. So he comes in, and he says his level was 26,
yeah.
which is... not deficient, but it's insufficient. Mm-hmm. And he said, that's remarkable because I had just been on a trip to Puerto Rico. I had been in the sun and I had already started taking the vitamin D you gave me. So it probably was much lower when he first came in.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, by the way, I said, how's your eczema? And he said, I virtually can't. It's undetectable.
Yeah.
You know, and I gave him other things, zinc and
sure.
fish oil and borage oil. And
changes his diet and all
and
that.
And changing his diet, getting mm-hmm. off gluten and sugar. And mm-hmm. and this is, he came in exactly 1 month ago. So that's
yeah.
better than expected. So, I mean, so many things now are important. Like birth outcomes, that's so important. You know, women who are low in vitamin D give more likely to have premature birth or like bad birth outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
Lowered immunity. Susceptibility to the flu,
mm-hmm.
Cardiovascular problems, blood pressure problems, metabolic syndrome.
Low bone mineral density.
Well, just going back
all
to basics.
That, going I mean, that's back what to, yeah.
They just thought D was a bone mineral.
Right.
But,
and if you have rickets, oh boy, let's give you some vitamin D.
Yeah, yeah.
Or osteomalacia. But
what's the motive there? I think the motive is cost containment.
Yeah, it is. The American Society for Clinical Pathology recommends against screening for vitamin D deficiency.
Save money.
In the general, exactly. U.S. Preventive Services Task Force mm-hmm. is always looking to save money. Mm-hmm. They're actually saying they found insufficient evidence that vitamin D supplementation prevents cardiovascular disease, fractures, cancer, in all of that. And of course, the Institute of Medicine, which is still recommending very, very low supplementation for vitamin D, which
right.
is, you know...
it's like 600 international
yeah,
units,
yeah.
which will you know, keep you from having the most gross mm-hmm. deficiency, but it won't put you into the sufficiency. It's impossible with 600 to put you into sufficiency.
Right. And they're insisting that dosages above the tolerable upper limit of 4,000 IU a day can cause things like renal impairment, vascular calcification. 4,000 IU a day? Are you kidding? No, it won't.
No. But, you know, hey, listen, I'm excited that they raised it to 4,000.
Yeah, as the upper tolerable.
But, you know, so today I saw two people who have been on 5,000 for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And both, it's husband and wife. And the man had a vitamin D of 42 on 5,000. And the woman had a vitamin D of 63 on 5,000. So is that going to cause like vascular problems and kidney stones and God forbid, you know?
No.
I mean, we do have to measure from time to time, but it's so important in rheumatology, for example, mm-hmm. in patients who have rheumatoid arthritis. The rheumatologists check vitamin D now because of that. Also, ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease, very important. And also MS. I mean, it's remarkable studies looking at the relationship between vitamin D and multiple sclerosis. Mm-hmm. Certain cancers, colon cancer, prostate cancer, possibly even breast cancer.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I'll admit
it's also good for high blood pressure.
There have been some negative studies. There have been some equivocal studies, but nothing in science is 100%.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the weight of the evidence is for.
Yeah.
It's one of the first vitamin blood tests that I did.
Yeah.
And actually, it was so hard to get a vitamin D test in the 80s that I had to buy a machine and do it in the office. And, you know, we did it on our own. And then the outside lab started doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think it was prescient that we started looking at it then.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, this is still reactive medicine. Get this. This is what they're trying to enforce. When should you have a vitamin D test? Talk to your doctor about your risks. If you have one of these conditions, you might need a vitamin D test, osteoporosis. But why wait till you have osteoporosis? Mm-hmm. Why don't you get your levels checked so that you can prevent osteoporosis?
Thank you. Yeah, because then they're going to say, when you have osteoporosis, then they're going to say, take a drug.
Yeah, yeah. So when else do you need a vitamin D test? If you have a disease that damages your body's ability to use vitamin D, like inflammatory bowel disease, celiac disease, kidney disease, liver disease, all of these.
Well, but certainly kidney disease. Kidney disease is a rampant vitamin D deficiency.
Yeah. And if your risk is low, you can boost your vitamin D with sunlight and food and possibly supplements. Sunlight, if you wear no sunblock at all and you're naked at noon for 20 minutes a day, that will help.
8 ounces of milk will give you 100 international units of vitamin D.
So it's ridiculous. So 400 international units in a quart of milk.
Right. So you'd have to have, to get 5,000, you'd have to have 50 glasses.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is ridiculous. Or eat a bushel of shiitake mushrooms ripened in the sun. Or eat a few pounds of wild Alaskan salmon every day. A few pounds.
Pounds.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So dietary.
Take your supplement.
Forget about it.
Take your supplement, Magdalena.
Or you can do what we were designed to do, which is to run around naked at the equator.
Yeah.
You can do that too.
You can do that too.
But you know, might get arrested.
Yeah. okay. All right.
All right. I think we are running out of a scarce commodity, which is time. Let's conclude for today, but let's mention a couple of things. First of all, FullScript, we're still offering free delivery on FullScript, and you can access many of the supplements that we talk about here on FullScript. FullScript is the portal through which you can buy supplements of great quality, supplements that I personally selected. Check it out at drhoffman.com. And you can click on the store. It'll prompt you to register for FullScript. And you're no obligation to buy once you register, but you can shop there at your discretion. And support our sponsors. Check out our newsletter. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. And make sure you download the rest of our podcasts because there's some really great quality podcasts that we're doing. You know, I just talked to Dr. David Perlmutter about... natural, really exciting news about dementia, which is that studies prove that lifestyle is the only hedge against dementia. There is no pill. There is no medicine. It's really, we're faced with an epidemic of Alzheimer's disease and dementia and neurological disorders. Yeah. And it is amazing, the effects of exercise, sleep, diet, stress reduction.
Mm-hmm.
These things are our bulwark against this terrible tide of neurological disorders that are going to really cripple our nation. You know, as we live longer, you know, we don't want to have a nation of zombies.
We don't. Huh. On that note, thank you for listening, everybody.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.